And that was a short excerpt from Luciano Berio's Sinfonia. And we'll be hearing more in just a few minutes about that orchestral work. Welcome to Words and Pictures, the show about the narrative arts. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm joined today by two celebrated fine artists, both at the very top of their craft, and to traditional thinkers, maybe not the most obvious of collaborators. Rose Bond is an experimental filmmaker, an Oregon Media Arts Fellow, and chair of the Animation Arts Department at the Pacific Northwest College of Art. Rose, welcome back to Words and Pictures.
It's great to be here, Conch.
And Carlos Calmar holds the Gene Vollum Music Director Chair at the Oregon Symphony. He's been hailed for his performances here and abroad, including the Oregon Symphony's widely praised Carnegie Hall concert, Music for a Time of War. He's received Grammy nominations for such recordings as The Spirit of the American Range, Haydn Symphonies, and This England. Maestro Calmar, it's an honor to have you join us in the studio today.
It's such a pleasure, and I'm Carlos.
Okay, thank you. Well, Rose and Carlos, what's great about the space that you'll be using, the auditorium of the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall for Berio's Sinfonia, is that it started out life as a classic movie palace in the 1920s. So tell us about this collaboration between the music of Luciano Berio and the animation of Rose Bond.
Well, I'll start, Carlos? First off, if you haven't been in a Schnitzer, it's got a lot of curly cues. It's, I don't even know, Rococo, whatever. It just seems an impossible place to project anywhere except on like a little postage stamp screen because it's big. The hall, you know, holds about 2,000 or so.
They call it the Italianate or the Renaissance style.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to do a piece 2 years ago, late 2016, in the hall with Carlos and the Oregon Symphony on Messiaen's Turangalila, and ended up projecting just on the walls. So there were no screens, and figuring out sort of visually how to do that in a way that the images, well, let's just say this. I felt like the room came and went in ways that you are sometimes conscious of the space and the architecture. At other times, you were totally lost in a different world.
Right. This was Olivier Messiaen's Turangalila, and you had a collaboration with a number of students from Pacific Northwest College of Art.
Oh, my PNCA students rocked it. Yeah. No, I had a team of 10 to help out on that, and some superb alums who really took on big pieces of movements. So, yeah, I couldn't have done it without the talented and committed students of PNCA.
So you have, I mean, you're not new to this. You've had, you've been in charge of large-scale site-specific animation installations in Portland and Manhattan, internationally in England, Croatia, Canada, the Netherlands. And these are, you've used music, you've used sound mixes to project images in windows on buildings in ways that you use animation to the full extent. You've got figurative animation going back and forth to more abstract pieces. And so how did, I'm going to ask Carlos here, Carlos Calmar, how did you discover these pieces and decide that this would be a good work, a good mix with the 20th century music of Messiaen and Berio?
Well, actually, what happened was that there was a point in our programming at the Oregon Symphony when we looked at our own programming and said, like, okay, we are doing fine, but let's do something different. And we thought about incorporating visual things, which we did, and Rose was part of our very first year, and it was wildly successful. The point, actually, back then of choosing Turangalila, and which led in the end also to the to choosing Luciano Berio's Sinfonia, is sometimes there are pieces of music, mainly in the 20th century, that are a bit larger than life, and they are what I would call on their own anywhere in the world are a little bit of a tough sell. So the phenomenon still exists that when you play Messiaen's Turangalila, because it's so over the top that you will have some members of the audience in Frankfurt, in London, or wherever, who would just walk out because it's
a
just,
bit avant-garde.
It's a little bit too. It's just a little bit too much. That is only applicable, I would say, to Messiaen. Berio is a very different problem. So we thought, with the genius of Rose Bond here in town, why don't we actually ask her, do you want to do something with us, just with that? And all in all, it ended up with the art form of orchestral music with Rose's art form on top. So you got actually, I wouldn't call it two pieces of art, because what Rose does is way more than one piece. It moves, it does this, it's
yeah, I think of it as a dance partner in some way. I'm just adding another dimension. When you hear music live, when you're in that hall and you hear that orchestra, it resonates in your body in a way that's really different. Even I have nice headphones, but I'm sorry. There's something about that live experience and being in that room. So I'm adding just another sense. It's just a fuller, it can be a really full experience.
And there's also the feedback from the audience, because you had people at the Messiaen concert who were in awe of how the, as you said, how the space was expanding and contracting with the images that were playing around the edges of the orchestral stage. Oh, and we should mention that, well, many years ago when the digital age was still young, you helped develop a concept called intermedia. And now from what I understand, intermedia is something of a creative space where artistic disciplines and technologies can come together and develop. Boundary Crossings is part of this. You're the director for Boundary Crossings, which is an immersive institute in animation arts. It's a biennial gathering, comes around like Brigadoon.
Right, right. I think it goes back to I was in school in Chicago at the Art Institute there, and it was 89-90, and people were doing performance. And they were out in parking lots, and they were in clubs, and they were everywhere. And I thought, hey, I don't just want to be in a movie theater. I'd like visual moving images to be existing somewhere out in the world, to have audiences that aren't just the predictable audiences. And so that's been pretty important to me in terms of staging works in bad neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, whatever little slur word you want to put on it, and really showing, using it as a platform for voices that aren't usually heard, perhaps, or stories that aren't usually celebrated, sort of making the unmemorable, monumental.
Well, your work has always been about community. When you did site-specific installations, say, here in Portland, it was about the community that would gather in one building, yeah, for example. And when you've had your boundary crossing institutes, they tend to be about what can we tell, not about a personal story, but about a community coming together, and how can we express this to another community?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that a lot of times people think of moving image as, you know, for its use in entertainment. And it's like there are these other avenues. Screens are all around us now. And what the content of those screens are is becoming, it's sort of that sort of age of accessibility in some ways, that we can make things that used to cost a lot of money. So what do you do with that? And I think we're encouraging at PNCA, encouraging individual voices, and like I say, stories that haven't been up there and out there, to fully explore the diversity of who, what we are, and who makes us. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about this new production, Luciano Berio's Sinfonia with the Oregon Symphony. Let's hear a little excerpt right now featuring the visiting vocal ensemble, Room Full of Teeth.
No.
You're listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and I'm talking today with animator and media artist Rose Bond and Oregon Symphony music director Carlos Calmar. They've teamed up on productions of Olivier Messiaen's Tarantella and now Luciano Berio's Sinfonia. Carlos Calmar, I want to ask you about this current work, Luciano Berio's magnum opus Sinfonia. It's 50 years old. It includes parts for 8 amplified voices in this performance. The vocal ensemble Room Full of Teeth will be on stage. And right off the bat, in the first movement, you were talking about it being avant-garde. There are spoken quotations in there from playwright Samuel Beckett, as well as linguist and mythologist Claude Lévi-Strauss, meditations on water and death. And then, it goes into the second movement. It's a musical tribute called O King, a memorial to Martin Luther King. And this was right after his death in 1968.
Well, the thing is, of course, all the things that you mentioned, and there are 3 more movements to come, and we just heard an excerpt of the by far most complicated and longest movement, which is the 3rd. All of that speaks highly of a very intellectual piece, which, of course, Luciano Berio's Sinfonia is. The thing for anybody who should, I hope very much, come to see this concert, because it will be an event that you don't want to miss, that you have to remember, or let's say you have to forget. Forget a couple of things that you are usually expecting in a concert. Usually when we play, you expect a sweeping long melody and a lot of romanticism underneath, or even classical music, etc. Okay, forget that. That will not really happen. And number 2, because you already mentioned the 8 amplified singers. The 8 amplified singers have very different roles at very different times, and you heard in the little excerpt that we just played that there is some language being spoken. Some of it is in English, some of it is in French, and the point is, usually, whether it is in indie rock or whether it is in classical music, what you want is to the singer to be in the foreground, and you want to know what the hell is he or she saying. In this piece, this does not matter so much. It's just the singers, by design by Luciano Berio, the composer, are just a part of the ensemble, and you are not. It's not meant to be that you understand everything. Just an example: this wonderful tribute to Martin Luther King. Essentially, Berio dissects the name Martin Luther King in snippets, and you never hear it together. At the end, you hear once King, and that's it. But the rest is just a little bit of it, a little bit, one vowel here, one consonant there, and it's just the mixture of things. And in a case like this, and all 5 movements, although they are very diverse, it always goes on that principle. You absolutely are, I was thirsty for Rose to come in and essentially, I don't go to Rose and say, please do this. Right. On the corner. I just say, this is the piece, listen to it, and if you are interested, off you go.
Yeah, and I listened to Movement 3 and immediately thought, I have to do this piece. I'm looking for range. I'm looking for a piece that has layers in it that I can allude to visually. I'm never going to illustrate a piece, but I'll provide something, some kind of depth, almost like a dancer, sometimes an aloof dancer, sometimes more engaged. But Berio, it's like he called the piece Sinfonia, which I looked up, you know, it's like, what does that mean? And it's like a word for symphony, but it really means sounding together.
Mm-hmm. And so Symphony, yes.
He's putting together different pieces. He called it quotations. He's lifting, he's sampling music from other, from before, you know. He's sampling slogans. It's 1968. He's sampling slogans from the 1968 Paris, you know. He's sampling James Joyce. He's sampling Samuel Beckett. And in addition to all the music things. So visually, I thought, okay, how about then if I sample iconic photos? Suppose I animated in and out of or suggested certain kinds of images or photos that I think people, oh, I think I know what that is. I think I know who that is. And then the piece rolls into something else. And it's like this luscious puzzle, you know, where you can kind of put stuff together, but not really. But the experience, a level of engagement, I think, that you wouldn't, like, don't even think about, like, this is whatever your, you know, whatever you think a symphony is. This is an experience, I think, that is going to be something that speaks across audiences.
Well, you're talking about sound together, but mm-hmm. also we were mentioning the idea of the concept of coming together in this space. And I'm wondering if I'm going a little too far by saying maybe this is almost a sacred space, because the breaking up of language, that it just reminds me of mysterious rituals and spirituality, something like the Kabbalah, you know, and you know, the whole idea of being in a space where there are visual messages coming across as well as sound. It seems very, very sacred to me, like this is almost a ritual arena that we're in.
I think it definitely is. All of what is being said reminds me of the fact that I wish that all our audience members could hear and see the piece more than once, because at different points you make very different associations. And I think it's very important what Rose just said, that she doesn't illustrate. Actually, it's a very different layer of artistry that she brings to the table, and the fact that she utilizes essentially the 68s until, mm-hmm. I would say, until now,
yeah,
historically, with associations that you will have. Some of them are very concrete, some are absolutely not. And all in all, it's a dialogue between different art forms, and it, in my humble opinion, it will magically transform everybody who is in the hall.
I'd like to ask you a little bit about Luciano Berio himself. He's, again, this piece was written in the late 60s. He died in the 90s. And is this something new to Oregon? Is this the first time that this sinfonia has been played here?
Absolutely, yeah. First of all, this is a piece that is a little bit tough to put together.
Understatement.
So you need an absolute first-class orchestra. Then you need an ensemble of 8 singers who, if possible, have done it together, which in our case, Room Full of Teeth, they have done it together. And the music of Luciano Berio is very diverse in itself. You have pieces that have something to do with the Sinfonia in terms of style, etc. And then you have arrangements that he did of what we call old music, based on music by Schubert. There is a piece that is very famous by him, or he wrote a series of songs, his folk songs that he wrote for his wife, Kathy Berberian, that are absolutely stunning and amazing and extremely listenable. Sinfonia is a little bit of a very different animal. It's very complex. It's in a certain way highly intellectual, but I would say the word intellectuality very often kind of resonates with people like, oh, I don't know, I don't want to go as a concert. So I would say, please forget the word intellectuality. It doesn't matter. The thing is, you're going to get a piece of music that will wash over you, that will leave you with your mouth open. And then there is very, very importantly, Rose's work. And I just come from seeing it, and yeah. I thought like, Whoa, amazing.
Well, I was wondering how closely, Rose and Carlos, how closely you've been consulting. Have you been checking in every so often, trading ideas back and forth? No, not so much?
Not at all. No. No, and that's what I love. It's, I don't know if it's a Portland thing or whatever, but it's like, hi, you know, well, yeah, do you want to do this? Yeah. Well, go do it.
And then, go do it. See you in a couple of months.
Yeah, see you in a little while. And just to come back, so to have, you know, this kind of artistic freedom and trust in the, Carlos says, top-rate orchestra.
At the end of the day, Rose works in the visual arts. I don't work in the visual arts. Yeah. Who am I to actually tell her, hey, I want to see whatever comes to mind? No, this is the piece, and the piece allows, I think, a lot of freedom in terms of where you go with it, and I absolutely love the result.
And are there more possibilities in this series coming up in the future?
Well, the series itself has more possibilities, but in terms of the collaboration between Rose and the Oregon Symphony, I can only express, I very much hope that this is a collaboration also for the future. It will go past my time, because at the end of next season, I will give the baton to whoever will be my successor.
I've heard about this. Carlos, you're getting ready to close out your tenure as conductor here in Portland in a rather ambitious way over the course of the next season. 22 Oregon Symphony premieres, is that right? Including a world premiere, at least one?
Well, I would say that is something that over the last couple of years we have been doing in this style. I mean, there is, during my tenure, a lot of music that has never been played by the Oregon Symphony. And one day somebody who has the time to do it will just list all of them. It will be an impressive list. But the most important thing is, I think this idea that we originated at the Oregon Symphony with adding something visual, whatever it is, and this, especially the collaboration with Rose as one really particular example of here, Portland, Oregon, is what will make also has to be part of the future of the symphony.
Yeah, that's their Sound Sight series, and that's what brought me in, this openness. Yeah.
And I think people, not everybody will know, Carlos, that we share you with other folks, with the Grant Park Symphony in Chicago.
I wouldn't say you share. Well, yeah, physically you share, me, but essentially we are talking about two completely separate institutions. In other words, I treat Oregon Symphony very differently artistically, because the needs of this community and what I present here in a concert hall is very different from things that I present in Chicago, which is a summer outdoor festival. I don't rehash things in Chicago that I played here. It's just a very different concept. Chicago is a slightly different city, as you know, from Portland, and I just try to cater to everybody's needs.
Well, Symphony President Scott Showalter says that in the 2021 season, we tell the story of Carlos and the Oregon Symphony. Over the course of the year, Carlos will bring us music that moves him and us. And the musical theme for the season is, who has the right to be heard in our society? Rose, this is something that you have picked up on. There will be explorations of homelessness, immigration, and the environment being touched on in some of the programs.
Well, that was actually what you mentioned is actually from the past. The environment, etc. It's just that once we started with the idea of adding something visual, something in touching on social themes, we saw that the response by the audience and by the society here in Portland was pretty strong. And I think it's one of the things where a symphony orchestra can expand. And just to say it on a personal level, the fact that here in Portland, Oregon, I can work with Rose, and later in the season in this one, I can work again with Michael Curry, who is a phenomenal visual artist that is so different from Rose.
Yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful thing for all of us musicians to be capable of just having an artistic dialogue with so talented people?
And well, one of the things that you're known for is bringing more 19th and 20th century music to Oregon. W.C. Dvorak, Carl Orff, Stravinsky, and also there's been some popular presentations at the symphony have been music for film. So we're talking again about visuals and music, contemporary orchestral music that's being done for film. So there's a very interesting mix that is not what people might think of as a traditional symphony hall program.
Well, actually, the film series, it surprised even me because I thought, like, why don't we need to have a live orchestra on a movie? Until I went. I went and I saw a movie with a live orchestra, and I was just like, wow, this is absolutely amazing, and people love it here. And there are a bunch of good movies out there. I mean, this weekend, right now, as we speak, Saturday, are two shows of one of, I don't know which one, one of the Harry Potter movies. And trust me, it works really well when you have an orchestra sitting there and playing live music.
And there have been new works commissioned for Beauty and the Beast, the silent version, as well as the Passion of Joan of Arc. So those are, you know, very interesting audio-visual mashups there.
Yeah, who knew it'd be all this avant-garde stuff happening in classical music? But it's Portland, yeah.
Well, let's hear once again about this production of Luciano Berio's Sinfonia with Rose Bond's animation. Give us all the details, please. Either one of you, Rose or Rose Bond, Carlos Calamar.
What are we talking about here? The dates and stuff like that?
We are talking about the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. There's going to be a projection of Rose Bond's animation along with Luciano Berio's Sinfonia.
Yeah, that'll be on March 14th, 15th, and 16th. So opening night is Saturday. That's a 7:30 show. And then there's a Sunday matinee at 2, and then Monday night closing at 7:30.
And Carlos, we're not sure yet what's next for you. We're looking forward to the closeout of this season and your next season here with the Oregon Symphony. But Rose, what is next for you? Can you talk about any projects that you've got coming up?
I'm going to Orcas Island.
Oh, yes.
And into a hot tub for quite a while. Yeah.
A personal project.
Yeah. Yeah, personal project. It's been pretty intense. I've been working really closely with just one other guy, Zach Markolis, and then my programmer, Steve Ferris. So it's been a really intense 9 months. Mm. And we just gave birth to this big-headed baby here. So, I don't know what's next. I never do. But this is a direction I want to go in.
Well, you've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and my guests today have been animator and media artist Rose Bond and Oregon Symphony music director Carlos Calamar. They are collaborating on a production of Luciano Berio's orchestral work Sinfonia. Rose and Carlos, it's been marvelous to have you here today in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I believe you can find out more at portland5.com and rosebond.com. about this upcoming production. Any other websites or information?
orsymphony.org.
Very good. Thank you to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. I'm your host, SW Concert. You can find an archived version of the show later today at KBOO.FM/wordsandpictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter @wordsandpicture.